Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18. This is God's Word. After a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land." So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria, and Ahab had summoned Obadiah, who was in charge of his palace. Obadiah was a devout believer in the Lord. While Jezebel was killing off the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in 2 caves, 50 in each, and had supplied them with food and water. Ahab had said to Obadiah, "Go through the land to all the springs and valleys. Maybe we can find some grass to keep the horses and mules alive so we will not have to kill any of our animals." So they divided the land they were to cover, Ahab going in one direction and Obadiah in another. As Obadiah was walking along, Elijah met him. Obadiah recognized him, bowed down to the ground and said, "Is it really you, my Lord Elijah?" "Yes," he replied. "Go tell your master, Elijah is here." "What have I done wrong?" asked Obadiah, "that you are handing your servant over to Ahab to be put to death? As surely as the Lord your God lives, there is not a nation or a kingdom where my master has not sent someone to look for you. And whenever a nation or kingdom claimed you were not there, he made them swear they could not find you. But now you tell me to go to my master and say, 'Elijah is here.' I don't know where the Spirit of the Lord may carry you when I leave you. If I go and tell Ahab and he doesn't find you, he will kill me. Yet I, your servant, have worshipped the Lord since my youth. Haven't you heard, my Lord, what I did while Jezebel was killing the prophets of the Lord? I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets in 2 caves, 50 in each, and supplied them with food and water. And now you tell me to go to my master and say, 'Elijah is here.' He will kill me." Elijah said, "As the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I will surely present myself to Ahab today." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" "I have not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel, and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get 2 bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God who answers by fire. He is God." Then all the people said, "What you say is good." Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire." So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. O Baal, answer us, they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Shout louder, he said. Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is deep in thought, or busy, or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened. So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." With the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood." "Do it again," he said, and they did it again. "Do it a third time," he ordered, and they did it the third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord. Answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, he is God! The Lord, he is God!" Then Elijah commanded them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let anyone get away." They seized them, and Elijah had them brought down to the Kishon Valley and slaughtered there. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go, eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain." So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. "Go and look toward the sea," he told his servant. And he went up and looked. "There's nothing there," he said. 7 times Elijah said, "Go back." The 7th time, the servant reported, "A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea." So Elijah said, "Go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. A heavy rain came on. And Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Elijah was a man who waited on the Lord. He stood before the Lord in order to do God's bidding. After a long time, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the 3rd year. "Go and present yourself to Ahab. I will send rain on the surface of the land." So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. That's the key. All through this passage, the Lord says, "Go here," and Elijah goes. "Say this," and Elijah delivers the message. That is why these miracles happen. And Elijah wants that to be understood. When he prays there on the mountain before the miracle happens, Elijah approached the altar, verse 36, and said, "Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that at your word I have done all these things. Answer me, Lord. Answer me so that this people will know that you, the Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back." Why did he do these things? These things he was doing did not make sense. If you want to build a fire, part of the preparation is not pouring water over the wood. But God had already told him what to do. Humanly, it seemed like a crazy plan. And yet, God's ways are not our ways. He did what the Lord told him to do, even though it didn't seem to make sense. That's the way I want to live. Is that the way you want to live? You want to do what just, you know, the world says, why would you do that? Why would you go there? Why would you say that? Why would you not do this? I don't know God's call on your life. Except that if you want to walk in it, it's a matter of obedience.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. This program is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. You can hear Pastor Wood's teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at pastorwood.org. And when you visit pastorwood.org, we would greatly appreciate it if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and, if possible, also make a donation to this ministry. So please visit pastorwood.org today or give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
And Elijah. Was told by the Lord, go and present yourself to Ahab. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. God said to Elijah, I will send rain on the surface of the land. Back at the start of this Elijah series, Elijah says, it's not going to rain except at my word. But this makes it clear, when he's talking about his word, he's not talking about his word that originates with him. He's talking about proclaiming the word of the Lord. He is the Lord's spokesman because God made him the Lord's spokesman, and he's proclaiming these things because God told him to. That's why he's saying this stuff. So he goes and he meets up with Obadiah, who's a wonderful guy who fears the Lord and who works for a demonized king. He runs the palace for a king who is wicked, 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 and the queen who is wicked, 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 wicked. Okay? I mean, Ahab was awful. Jezebel was worse. So, he goes, he meets up with Obadiah. He appears suddenly on the road. It isn't clear if that was a supernatural poof and he's there. But it is clear if you read the rest of what Scripture says about Elijah and you read about the deacon Philip in the book of Acts that sometimes God moves people around suddenly and supernaturally. It's not a common occurrence, but it is recorded at least with those two individuals in Scripture. And so Obadiah, being aware that that seems to be one of the ways in which Elijah gets transported, says, why are you sentencing me to death? King Ahab has been searching everywhere for you, and when he can't find you, he's upset. Now you're asking me to go say you're here, and then God may take you and put you somewhere else. We'll come back. You won't be here. I'll pay for it with my life. That's what King Ahab is like.
and you thought you had a bad boss. Okay? This guy was afraid of being killed just for disappointing his boss. Elijah says, as the Lord lives, I'm not going to do that. I'm here because God told me to be here, and I'm going to do what God says to do, and God says I'm to present myself to Ahab. Go get him. So Obadiah obeys. Before he goes, however, he has informed Elijah that he, Obadiah, has personally saved 100 of God's prophets. That does not seem to sink in with Elijah, because Elijah, in this same chapter, and again later, is going to insist, whether talking to the people or talking to the Lord, God, I'm the only one of your prophets left. Now, I'm so glad God gives us that insight into Elijah. Because let me tell you, that's not a positive trait. Okay? It's not a good thing if you go around with a complex that you are the only one who's really got it right. Okay? I mean, I'm it, God. I'm your last man on earth. If that's what you believe, you're wrong. And God's going to tell Elijah that later on. But meanwhile, God goes ahead and uses Elijah despite his complex. And that's a great thing. God uses imperfect people. And for all the things that Elijah got right, that was something Elijah got wrong. And the text points it out. God could have inspired the writer of this passage just to leave that out. We don't need to know that about Elijah. That was an unfortunate feature of his life. But no, God says, put it in there. That's the way it was. So, Ahab says, is that you, Elijah, the one who's ruining my country? Elijah says, I'm not the one ruining the country. You're the one ruining the country with sin. Ahab was angry at Elijah for telling the truth about sin and its consequences. He was angry because Elijah was speaking of God's judgment and bringing God's judgment on the place with his pronouncement. But God was the one who was doing the judging. God was the one who had withheld the rain. And now Elijah is actually coming with good news. God is going to send rain. He has an encouraging message. But from Ahab's standpoint, he hasn't done anything wrong. Elijah's the one who's done something wrong because Elijah said something that he didn't like. Let me just tell you something. God's word is often unpleasant, but we need it. The guy who cut my chest open was doing me a favor. And when God's word pierces us, it's because we need it. So, Elijah says, bring the people to the top of Mount Carmel. Ahab complies. The people show up. Elijah asks them a question. How long are you going to waver between two opinions? They hadn't completely said, we don't believe in God. They believed in God, and they believed in Baal, and the queen had this thing for Ashtoreth. God will not be part of what's important in your life. And so he says, we're going to build two altars. The prophets of Baal can offer up a bull. I'm going to offer up a bull. We're not going to light the fire. We're going to pray. And whichever God answers with fire, he's the real God. And the people said, cool. That sounds really neat. That's fine with us. So it's done. At Elijah's direction, and the prophets of Baal get to go first. And when they start praying to Baal, they are chanting, they are dancing, and they are cutting themselves until they bleed. Please notice that. Those who worship false gods, according to the Bible, are ultimately, whether they realize it or not, worshiping demons. And you know what demons want? They want your destruction. The enemy hates God and therefore hates you whom God loves. And so the temptation to do things that are self-destructive comes from the destroyer, not the creator. The prophets of Baal are cutting themselves until the blood flowed. And Elijah, filled with compassion, like a modern preacher has been trained to be, is showing respect for other faiths and saying, oh, who's to judge? No, he mocks them. He says, shout louder. Surely he's a god, right? Elijah's making fun of them. But the outcome of all of their frantic worship is that nobody heard and nobody answered. You know why? Because Baal's not a god. Ashtoreth isn't a god. Milcom isn't a god. All the false gods are not gods. They're imposters. They're puny, territorial beings. Principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this present age and spiritual wickedness in high places. Yes, there are real forces of darkness, but let me tell you something. Their leader, Satan himself, is a finite creature who has not always been and will not always be. He is destined for the lake of fire, and he knows it. And he knows his time is short, and he is going around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He wants to mess up as many of your lives as he possibly can through getting his lying spirits to get you to do stuff to mess up your own life. Don't give in to him. Yield yourself to Jesus, the one who loves you so much that he gave his life for you. He died to save you. They did what Elijah said, and when the fire fell, it didn't just burn up the bowl. It didn't just burn up the wood. It burned up the rocks and the dirt and the water. God nuked the sacrifice. And when the people saw what the fire of God did to the sacrifice, they fell on their faces and they said over and over, the Lord, he is God. Yahweh, the Lord, he is God. They knew the truth, and now they faced it. And so Elijah said, okay, I think my work here is done. No. He said to the people when they're worshiping God, okay, seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let even one of them escape. And so the people seized the prophets of Baal, and Elijah had them brought down to a place off the mountain, and he slaughtered them there. After the prophets of Baal have been slaughtered, Elijah goes to prayer. Now, God had said it was going to rain. And God had said, do this and I'll do this. But that doesn't remove our responsibility to pray. Daniel read in the book of Jeremiah that after 70 years, God was going to deliver his people out of their exile. And so he said, oh, well, good. I don't have to pray about that. No. When he saw in God's word what God had promised, he began to pray and cry out to God to do what God had said he would do. And that's what Elijah is doing here. He's down on his knees and he's praying until the fulfillment. And you and I should be saturated with God's word and then praying for God to do what he said. And you know what? It's not because if we don't pray, he won't do it. It's because if we don't pray, we're going to miss out. We need to pray because God says we ought to pray.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. pastorwood.org.